All right, so, you know, we'll kind of go through the same thing again. So basically, you know, I just kind of want to get, you know, some sense of who you are. You know, I hate to, you know, delve too much because I don't want to, you know, relive, you know, I don't want to have to, you know, repeat too much. You know, right. At some point, you know, I knew that you had a really tough childhood and, you know, I don't want you to share what you feel is necessary and, you know, and how we can kind of get a good sense of who you are. So, shoot. Okay. Friend number two.
Well, I'm in Portland. I just thought it would be just something different, and exciting, and something new, in my life right now.
Did you come together? Or, okay.
Yeah, and I'm just, like, excited. Just really, more so just visiting. And deciding where I want to relocate to.
So you lived in North Carolina all your life as well?
I'm from New York.
Oh, what part?
From Long Island, New York.
What part?
Ronkonkoma.
Okay, I grew up in Hicksville.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Which is funny because Ronkonkoma is like Hicksville. It's a true big with the train station, you know, yeah. Nexus. But yeah,
to me, like all the same thing. I mean, you know, Ronkonkoma, but my family's from Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, like pretty much the whole New York.
You have any siblings?
It's six of us.
Right.
I'm the middle child.
We're all middle child in that part, right?
Yeah. What else? As far as like work wise, well, before I started like brand ambassador work, like I'm doing that now, just going to like different, states and cities and, like representing whatever brand like that's available. Like sometimes I think last week I was representing BMW, so I was with like NASCAR car speed racing with them.
So like at an expo or a convention or something like that.
Well, yeah, that was in North Carolina, but as far as like the expo thing, I did the expo out here. But before that, I was a teacher in New York.
Really? What kind?
I worked with the Head Start.
Okay.
From, like, newborn to up until 5 years old.
Right.
Then I worked with, like, the special needs students and, like, mental disorders and developmental disabled children in the school system. So... I enjoyed that a lot, and I hadn't gotten to a situation like a few years ago, and I had to move to North Carolina.
Right.
So
you've been for North Carolina for a couple of years.
Yeah, 2 years.
And did you meet right away when you were there, or you know, is that more recent that you two met each other?
more so recent.
Right.
What else?
What were you doing in North Carolina? Were you able to find work?
Okay. So, I spent my time in North Carolina traveling back and forth to New York. I had gotten into a custody battle, a domestic violence situation with my husband. And, so for like the whole 2 years, I just was going back and forth with this domestic violence and abuse and neglect charge. And then it went into custody battle. And then I was just like, all right, okay. So now I have to figure out what am I going to do brand new with my life, because I'm young and I'm not going to continue on with my life like for years on end going back and forth to court in another state.
Good.
And that was, I just made that decision because I just felt like eventually it got to end. You know, I felt like I did everything that I was supposed to do. Like I said, for 2 years, I went back and forth. That wasn't good enough for my family and for my son's father. But I understand and I know that when people are not in your situation, they can't really tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Only you know what you can do and what you're supposed to be doing. And only you know how you're gonna be able to do it.
Right.
And that's really it. I just came to them terms.
So you have a kid that's up in New York with your ex-husband, I guess, at this point?
I have my son. He's 5 years old.
Right.
His father won full custody.
Right.
Due to the fact that he made more money than me, and I didn't live in the state.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that. I went through divorce like 11, 12 years ago, and... You know, there was an astonishing part. So it was parenting differences, but there were times that, you know, I was astonished at the behavior, you know, that their mother, you know, did. And yeah, it's, the courts aren't necessarily fair. I to some extent, you know, I understand what you're doing and I can kind of see why the two of you have, a bond, you know, you're both looking for something new and maybe trying to get away from something that, you know, hasn't been working out and, you know, do for yourself. So that's good. What are your thoughts as what you would do here for work and stuff?
I'm still in the brand ambassador work. So, that's like currently what I am doing here. And with brand ambassador work is more so, it's not like work every day. It's more so like mostly whatever is available. I mean, for the most part, there's usually a lot of stuff available, like different gigs.
Right.
For one was the expo that I did this past weekend.
Right. And who was that for?
That was Freedom Food.
Right.
Representing their snacks, like their cereal and snack line and in the supermarket.
Right.
So then I got a couple other brand ambassador gigs coming up, like bartending jobs and some dispensary type stuff and then the brewery over here in Milwaukee. So I'm excited about that.
Okay. So, do you help each other out? You're kind of like each other's cheerleader at times and stuff like that, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm also like this. Like, if it's gonna be, like, a liability, then, I don't really... I'm okay. For the most part, like... We do good with one another, like more so like hand in hand. If one don't get it, then the other one will pick up whatever was left.
Right.
So it works. Teamwork.
Looking out for each other.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You know, they give me some background. What would you say is your, I guess, a primary conflict or the conflict that you're kind of working against and dealing with?
Well, now the fact that, I'm just dealing with my son's father and him, manipulation and, alienation, those kind of things that's going on because he has full custody. You know, he's making my son feel like he has to manipulate me and my son's feel like that he only could just ask me for toys. And that's it. Like, that's the only reason why I'm there. And then after that, I know that he tells him that, you know, oh, I don't want him and I don't want anything to do with him. I know it because my child tells me he's 5 years old and he's very... he talk. Like since I've been raising him, he's five, so, you know, I since birth, I had him up until, like, 2.5 years old.
Right.
From that time, I've always taught him to always express your feelings and always, you can always talk. I want you to talk. You're supposed to be able to talk about anything that's going on. I've always made that open. So me and him always had a good bond. We have open communication. He's a very advanced child. So, what, 8 years old? Not eight. 8 months. 8 months he was walking. By like 9 months, he was potty trained. Like, he just always advanced.
Right.
Did a lot of reading to
him. Developmentally doing pretty fast. I know my kids weren't potty trained that fast.
So, yeah. And then on top of that, like I said, I was a teacher. So, I taught him, put it like that. And then his father is also a teacher. And he was just a provider. That was it. He is about 70 years old now.
Right.
What else? And I just, you know, it's just hard because, like, all right, so it's been, what, probably like 3 years now. And you can't really, like, explain to a five-year-old that, you know, you're in a whole nother state, you know, then the other part to that, there's an order of protection. So it's not like I'm allowed to be near him.
Right.
So, but there is telephone communication. That's what the court ordered.
Right.
So it's telephone communication. So it's like explaining and trying to play and talk to a five-year-old on the phone. That's the most difficult thing ever. And then, like I say, I'm away. And then I'm not there, like, most of the time. This is a five-year-old we're talking about. So,
right.
For him, I know in his mind that I'm not there at all. But then, when you got his father and family, well, his father, because that's who his primary caretaker is, telling him that his mother don't want him and all this other stuff, you know, because telling him this stuff because he feels some kind of way about me.
Right.
Because he feels some kind of way that I left him and took my child, and then things got crazy, and then he got the child back and he got full custody, and it just was what it was. And so now it's just like, oh, I can't take care of this five-year-old. I'm 70 years old, and now it's all of these things. And it's just like, but this is what you fought me for in court for the last few years. And
so trying now, to get you back, or what is this guy doing? You know,
trying to get it back at me to take my son away from me. That's
what I'm saying. So he got custody, but now, you know, I guess what I was trying to figure out, what sometimes what people do is that, you know, they'll use the son to either get back or get you back, right? Is he trying to use, you know?
Well, the first few and a half years, it was just like, we want to have another baby. It was like that. It was like, you know, trying to use my son to get me back. Oh, I want to have another baby, this and that. Oh, if you do this, then I'll do this and I'll do that. That's how it was. It was like a deal and arrangement between us. And then once he got what he wanted, like, all right, he told me once he got full custody, he was going to give me back my son.
Right.
Now, we're in two different states. This is a domestic violence and child neglect case. So now the case is over. He got full custody. He told me he was going to give me back my son. That never happened. And then it came to, I'm never going to give back your son. He got what he wanted, and then he reneged. And then that was it.
Yeah, you know, the tough thing about, so, you know, I was talking before about we have these emotional voids, right? And, you know, it doesn't really help me much to know about him, other than the fact that the only thing I can really say is that you're not going to be able to control him, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know the I hear, you know, from you is that you clearly you still care for your son, right?
Oh, of course.
And you know, but I understand, you know, your frustration in being able to demonstrate that, right? And the thing is that you know, you have to kind of, you know, look at it as, well, what can you do? And what are your thoughts as to, I mean, I you know, I can give you some advice, but certainly, you know, what is your general thought? Because so here's the unfortunate thing, right? His father has the power advantage, right?
Yeah.
You can't sit there and you know, change the way the kid's thinking, because, you know, dad gets him pretty much all the time, right?
Yeah.
So there's nothing that you can do to either, you know, change the way the kid thinks about him. And what my recommendation is don't even try. I mean,
oh, yeah.
you have a valid position, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, you know, let's assume everything is as you say it is, and I have no reason to believe otherwise, right? For better or worse, you can't change the story that he's hearing, right?
Yeah.
What you can do is this. Is you can do two things, really. Number one, you can be non-offensive, non-oppositional, right? Okay. Don't talk about the, you know, the dad. I'm not saying that you are. I don't think that you are. But, you know, when it comes to the battle of, you know, poisoning the other parent, you could never win it, and you should never even start it, right?
Yeah.
Over time, if you just call and you just say positive things and talk about how you miss him and how you can spend more time with him and, you know, this and that, and you just say positive things, right? Over time, now granted, he's only 5 now, right? 6, 7, and you know, I don't know how long this might go on for, right? But if you call him all the time, he's going to know that you're the person who called him all the time, right?
Yeah.
And at some point, while, you know, he can be filled with stories now, you're... failure to oppose the father will eventually become obvious to your son.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't say anything bad about the son at 9 or 10, and I, you know, I don't want it to go on for you for that long, but yeah. Or even 2 years from now, right? You know, kids get smart really fast, and we know that, right?
Yep.
And the thing is that the emotional thing that we were talking about from day one, that's working, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to give him an impression on the phone. Do you have a limited time? Do you have like an hour a day? Like how often can you talk to him? What is your, you know, arrangement?
Well, the arrangement is that we can just video chat and talk on the phone anytime.
Right.
He's in school. So
here's what you normally want to do as a parent is you want to, you know, in a perfect situation, you want to give them stability, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to give them consistency from day to day,
right?
And you want to be supportive, right? You don't they need to experience adversity. They need to experience problems, but you want it to be reasonable, right? Because at age 5, you know, they're not going to be able to experience a lot, right? So your, you know, main goal should be one of, you know, two things. One, be the person who doesn't give him any adversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't say anything negative when you talk to him at all, right? And again, I don't think that you are. I'm not suggesting that you would, but I'm just saying, and this is a tough part because I you know, I had to go through this for a time period. You have to be perfect,
yeah.
Right? You know, you feel that you're talking on the phone and you feel that feeling like you want to say blah, blah, blah about the dad. You can't, right? Even if you're right, I'll say this, one of my favorite phrases. Do you want to be right or do you want to be successful, right?
Yeah.
You're talking on the phone. The kid says something about dad. You want to say, yeah, well, dad shouldn't do that. You say, you know, you say whatever you can to be supportive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he'll take that as, oh, you know, gee, she's there for me, right? And you have to be kind of like that spoon, that cup for him, right?
Yeah.
Be underneath him. And the other thing that I could say, which is really the most important, which you can do, is just be consistent,
right.
You know? I realize, you know, like having phone issues is a problem, right? So, you know, I don't know, I can't offer suggestions in an area and I can't necessarily do it, but if there's any way that you could pick, I don't know, 2 days a week, like either Monday or Friday, or I don't know if every day would be difficult, you know, get 10 minutes a day Maybe you promise to call him once a day, right? Okay. Does he have his own phone? I mean, it's tough. At age 5, does he have his own phone?
No.
You have to call him on the computer?
I have to call him on his father's phone.
Yeah, like with supervised, kind of like a supervised call?
Yeah, he's there monitoring the call.
Yeah, the best thing I would say as far as the near term is just be consistent.
Yeah.
Be there as often as you can, right? And, you know, I hear all the things that you're saying and I have no reason to not believe them. You know, there unfortunately that happens a lot, you know, where you get this malicious part. And the one thing that I learned is that when a person like your ex, I'm calling him your ex, like the baby daddy, I don't know how to refer to him. Some point, if they keep kicking and you don't kick back, they just see themselves kicking.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
You know, at this point, you have no, you know, you have no power, right?
Right.
And the way that you're going to build that power is just by being consistent who you are and what you want to be to the kid, right?
Right.
You know, I know, well, yeah, I shouldn't, it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably the best thing for now. And you know, do what you can here. I mean, it's tough to, you know, you're in Portland, which is far away. You know, do you have a plan? Did you think you're going to stay here for a year? Did you think about going back to New York and being closer, or you know, things are so up in the air for you, right?
It's just it's horrible. I'm gonna put it like that, to be honest, because I'm saying it like that because it's like I said, this case has been going on since 2015, and so like, all right, they ended the case in September of 2017. They gave him full custody. He's 70 years old. He's dying. And now he's talking about, oh, I'm gonna give my son to my friends who live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And these are like friends that he visit like once or twice a year when he goes on a road trip or something.
The baby daddy said that?
Yeah, this is what he said about what he's gonna do with my son. And the thing is, because he has full custody, I don't have any rights. It's almost like I have to do the impossible. And so now the impossible is go back to court and let them know that he's not following the court order, because he's not. Like, I have telephone communication that I can do. I'll call, you know, he'll make sure right. The phone is not on.
I'm not a good legal expert, but, and you know, you should get, so here's the, here's the approach that I took, right? And I'll go back to number one, right? It's, do you want to be right or do you want to be successful, okay? If he's not following the court, you know, what you call parenting plan or whatever, I forget what it's called specifically, right? You have a valid complaint.
Yeah.
But the thing is that even if you are to, you know, even if you were to be successful, the question is, what would you gain, right? So first of all, you know, in order for you to get custody, you need to be financially stable, mm-hmm. right? So if you're even started spending some resources on an attorney, not likely that that's going to happen, right? And let alone being able to get enough money in the interim to, you know, be able to take care of him. So, you know, what I would recommend is, you know, and it's kind of like a... he's going to cause your ex-husband is going to cause his own problems, right? If he's acting erratic like this, then, you know, and I've been in that situation, your kind of goal is just to be there actually for both of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is going to, and it sounds kind of crazy, but it works, right? Mm-hmm. If you stop opposing the dad, right, as opposed to, you know, trying to wrestle the kid away from him again, right?
Yeah.
Right. At some point, you're right, you know. At 70, he might be dying, right? And this guy, at some point, if you stop that adversarial nature, right, stop any opposition at all, at some point, you're going to win. Simply by virtue of age,
yeah,
you're going to win, right? If you remove the battle, then it's going to be like the person, I don't know if you ever watched, I think of Peanuts. You know, Lucy holds the football and Charlie Brown goes to kick it?
Yeah.
Right? And she moves the football away and he goes flying?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's like, right? If you let him keep doing the opposition and you don't oppose, you know, you're like, oh, you want to move down to Carolina? What can I do to help? Can I put you, because you were there recently. Can I put you in contact with someone, right? Call his bluff. I mean, I don't even know what the guy is thinking and he's doing it. Because you were in North Carolina at the time, though, right?
Oh, well.
Is he thinking he's trying to get the kid closer to you or something like that?
No, he's trying to take him. He's trying to keep him away from me.
Was the father in New York or was that in North Carolina?
He lives in New York. He lives in New York, but his friends live in North Carolina.
Right.
And he'll visit.
So right now your son is still in New York, correct?
He still lives in New York with his.
But father. You were in North Carolina.
I live in North Carolina. I had moved to North Carolina with my son in 2015. Right. When the domestic violence situation happened with me and my husband.
Yes, you know, to me, it's kind of like, is he playing chess? I mean, so if you get custody and you're in another state, if you want to, you know,
those rules apply,
hurt the mother, right? You don't move closer, right? That seems the opposite. So, you know, that kind of tells you, it gives you some insight as to where he's at, right?
Yeah.
So clearly he won the battle that he didn't want to win. And it's hard to guess where he's at if he's
in New York supposed to be.
Well, I mean at mentally, you know, did he do the whole custody thing just to hurt you, which is very possible, right?
People
do disturb things. No, yeah, what you say?
Tell him from the beginning what he set the kid up, had the child put in what is it called?
His
own son put in ACS.
Yeah, me up.
Yeah, he set her up because she didn't
he
want him.
He called
back.
Child Protective Services on me.
Yeah.
And, of course, now, you know, it's on me. And, you know, then they worked in his favor because he's older. He made more money. And
yeah, I know how the
other stuff as well.
And, yeah, but, you know, that's, it's easy for me to say because it's not an easy thing to do emotionally.
Yeah.
Right? But certainly the number one thing to do, and this will sound backwards, but in the long term it makes sense, is don't do the opposition, right? You know, you don't need to, you know, think about what issues the baby daddy has, right? Clearly there's stuff going on because just, you know, at 70 you shouldn't be this adversarial. I mean, you know, people think, you know, when you get to a certain age you should mellow out, right? You know, why he would be doing this, I'm not sure, but... you know, potentially it's just to.
Well, he
you weren't doing. Potentially you weren't doing what he wanted you to do, and he was trying to control you, and he took it out on your kid. You know, I mean, that's a very plausible situation. But you know, but for you, you can't. You know, you're not going to win the battle against the dad, right? You've already lost one of the battles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if he does stuff wrong, you know, to me it would be a. You know, one approach that I wound up taking was that I stopped all fighting altogether, right?
Yeah.
Even when I knew, you know, the mother was doing anything wrong, I didn't say anything. And you know, she wasn't getting along with my oldest kid, right? I'll give you a great example, great story, okay?
Okay.
She wasn't getting along with my kid, right?
Okay.
And my oldest, and they were fighting all the time. And she only had him every other weekend at this point. I had him 11 out of 14 days, right? So she would call me up on the weekends that she had him. So once a month, you know, out of every other weekend, she would call me either crying or screaming, right? One, I you know, she's so upset that they're not getting along, or she's so angry at the way that he's behaving. So what I would do on the phone call, right, is I'd say, look, I understand. Yeah, he's a tough kid. I agreed with her. I said whatever she needed to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did zero things to oppose her, right? And what I was able to do is that I knew that I could raise him. I could teach him how to behave. So about a year and a half into this, after about a year of these, I was helping my son de-escalate the situation, right? About a year, the phone call stopped. A half a year after that, she called me up one day and she says, I go, hello? She goes, are you teaching him how to talk to me? I said, yeah. She goes, okay. And she hangs up. And that was the last we ever spoke of it. But basically, I knew that I couldn't change her.
Yeah.
Right? And that's your situation. You can't change him.
The bad part is he's not allowing me to talk to my son. That's just the bad part. He's making it real
okay. So
difficult.
That's where you should definitely get involved with the court, right? And that should be a quick phone call. And I can tell you from personal experience, if he's blocking the phone, so here you have a phone too, right? Right. Here's what you do: you call on the phone, you show proof right?
Yeah.
Have you using, I don't know, FaceTime, you Skype or how do you call
it? The video chat, like on the phone.
Right, I'm saying, like, there's a like, recorded
too.
Right, so you can take a video of her calling, say hi, you know, and again, when you call, you have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Right? You are now Vanna White turning letters for the TV show, right? You're the woman who's handing food out at the expo. You're perfect. Nothing bothers you. Okay. Hey, can I talk? What's your son's name?
Austin.
Hey, I'd like to. It's funny. It's my middle son's middle name.
That's nice.
Hey, I'd like to talk to Austin. Okay. No, he's not here. Oh, is that? And you don't get angry. You don't, no crosswords whatsoever, right? No matter what the dad says, you don't love him. Can I talk to Austin? Mm-hmm. You say everything positive. You yes him to death. You positive him to death, right? And you record it, right? You do that a couple days and you say, and this is Tuesday at noon, and this is Wednesday at noon. Do it a couple days. You find out, you know, how to submit it to the court, and you send it to the court. And they will, and I've seen this, the judge will be livid with him and his attorney,
okay,
right? Because at this point, you know, what the court really wants is they want you to be involved, right? Because like you were saying, you're not being involved at all. You know, that doesn't make the kid feel good, right? Yeah. The kid thinks, right, oh, it's because my mother doesn't love me. It's because I don't matter, right? And you're doing everything possible to change that. And the court knows that, right? The court knows that, okay, let's forget about the fact that whatever happened, right? Child and Protective Services, you know, whatever it's called, whatever. We don't care. We still want the mother to be involved. Yeah. We want it to be safe, right?
Right.
Maybe they'll bring you into a room and you'll play with them behind a one-way mirror and they'll watch you, right? But they want you to be involved because they know that that's what's best, right?
Yeah.
Right? To me, you don't seem like you're doing drugs, right?
No.
You're not an agitated person.
No.
You seem, you know, you're well-spoken, right?
Thank you.
You're, you know... And the thing is, and that's the key, is the court's not going to look at you and you'll take the videos, right? Your friend will take the videos.
And you know,
you put on your best face, and that's what you have to do. You have to literally, you know, what do you want to call it? Yes and positive the father to death. Because at this point, you can't beat him financially, right?
No.
It's not going to help in the court. If you keep litigating it, as they call it, right? It's not going to be to your advantage, right?
No.
So you have to figure out, you have to play the charm game.
Mm-hmm.
So now your work life and your real life are going to cross.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you do for your work life, it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
You're the show, I would say show girl. That doesn't sound right, but you're the front person, right?
Right.
That's what you're going to do now, right? But now, instead of representing, you know, BMW or some food company,
right,
you're representing you,
mm-hmm,
right? And the only thing you're going to show them is that front smiley face, right?
Yep.
Go, you know, sob if you need in the room right after. But you need to show positive all the time. Because you just, you know, it's our emotional response, you know, when we're poked and prodded like the father's doing, right?
Yeah.
Is to respond in kind.
Right.
And when it's not being fair and you know that you're right, you really want to respond. But
right,
you won't be successful, you know, and that's just my being honest.
Can I tell you the latest issue?
Yeah.
My aunt is mad because, all right, I feel like my aunt should have mind her business. You know, that is still my husband. And
so you guys are still technically married?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And the other part to that is, you know, he won't sign the divorce papers. I keep sending them. He won't sign them.
There's a reasonable chance that he doesn't want the divorce, right? You know, and I can't, you know, I can't probably provide you a lot of help by getting into specifics. But what I can tell you is this, and I'll go back to the same story. The motto of your life has to be persevere,
mm-hmm,
right? And if your aunt says something, the best thing you can say is, no, that's not the case.
Yeah. I mean,
and call her up every day. You can call her up every day, right?
I speak to her. She's mad right now because she's been babysitting Austin while his father goes to work. And she bought tickets for her son. He's 12. And then Austin, he's 5. So now the father is, he's mad with me. He's always mad with me. And now he's not bringing him to see his aunt. And so now my aunt is mad with me because Austin is not coming and she bought tickets.
So is she in New York?
She's in New York.
Is the court case in New York?
Yeah, I mean...
There you go. The so now you know over. Who you're going to send the videos to. Right?
Yes, I'm to your aunt.
Right? Yeah. And you know, so the thing is, you kind of, you know, kill two birds with one stone, you know?
Yeah. She'll send it to the court. You best believe she's a social worker. Right.
Oh, yeah.
But in the end, so you know, I say the court really has to be the thing, the last resort.
Right.
What you really want to do is say, look, and again, you want to work with the father and get him to do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
And you say, look, you are blocking me from seeing my son, right? If you don't, and again, if you don't oppose him, and I understand you're going to have to be a saint.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't oppose him, right, sooner or later, he's going to break down. It happens with everyone. You know, the thing I can tell you from the foresight perspective is this, is we have our logical brain mm-hmm. and we have our emotional brain.
Right.
Right. The emotional brain will go on forever as long as it's getting its thing, its fix. Right. It's like a drug addict. Right. If it wants opposition and you're opposing, it'll keep going. The logical brain will be dismissed. Right. All those chemicals that the emotional brain, the adrenaline, all the other things that it sends to your body, it's powerful, and it's your primitive self, and you can't ever win against that, right?
Okay.
But if you refuse to oppose it, right, then all of a sudden the emotional thing dies away, and you're left with the logical part, and the logical part is going to make him feel really, really bad because he's keeping his son away from his mother.
I mean, he did it for like the whole time he had him, and now he's dying, and it's just like now he's just like, he deserves a shot at life. This is what he's saying.
I don't know if he's dying. You know, I question it to some extent, but again, you know, who knows? You know, it's.
Well, I'm saying that because this is what my aunt told me that he told her. Because the thing is, he's being secretive about some stuff. Like, he's not saying anything, but like he's going to the doctor. And he's going to the doctor a lot. And my son called his aunt, that's his great aunt, which is my aunt, and told her that daddy's been in the bed all day, stuff like that. And like he'll be outside of the room, like telling her. And she was just like, you know, she know, you know, that something is going on and it's true. Because then she can hear his father snoring.
I'm personally suspicious. I'm thinking if he's going to the doctor every day, it's because he's got a stick up his butt and trying to remove it. And it's way large.
Okay.
To be funny. I don't know. Okay, that was a bad sense of humor.
He's being manipulative.
Yeah.
But the thing is when people speak, and here's the emotional mind, right? When someone does something that's illogical, it's the emotional mind working. And it doesn't quite make sense. If you drill down on it and look at it, you'd be like, well, that doesn't make sense. So for example, if in fact he's dying, right? What he wants to do is let your son spend more time with his aunt. Is it your aunt or the boy's aunt?
Yeah, it's his great aunt.
His great aunt. Okay. Right? So if you're dying, right, the good parent is going to let him... Because you know what? The great aunt might become the foster parent or the adoptive parent,
this
right?
This is what she was telling me, that he was telling her who he's going to give Austin to. And she's like, to his friend who live in North Carolina, in Raleigh, North Carolina.
The one that he's met one time.
No, he'll visit him like one or two times throughout the year. But they've been friends like for a long period of time, but he'll come down to North Carolina to visit like once or twice a year.
I mean, it seems a little suspicious. When's the last time you used to? Do you know their friend? Have you ever seen them?
I've seen them like two times, honestly.
It seems a little suspicious.
Like since I've been married to him. And we've been married like 4 or 5 years, something like that. I was 26 when I married him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just kind of, you know, to base things in foresight, I mean, as far as... you have to take someone at the word and say that, you know, yes, maybe he is in fact has something terminal. Maybe he does in fact really, plan on taking him down to North Carolina.
Well, my son, he would ask me, he would be like, oh, mommy, who am I going to live with you know, this is the stuff that he would say to me. He said that to me, and it bothers me because I can't do anything because of the order protection, and I just can't do anything because of the order protection.
Like, right, yeah, and I understand much. That. And to me, the best thing, other than, I do think, I mean, certainly you should, you know, you should have your right to talk to him on a regular basis. And you want to do it in a as less adversarial or the least adversarial method possible. So you can, for example, you know, potentially take these videos and say, look, I'm trying to see him every day. If you block, I'm going to go to the court. I don't want to do that. I just want to talk to my son, you know? Try to use those as a, hey, I've recorded these videos and I don't want to go to court, you know? And if you give him a sense of, and it's true that you want to work with him, then potentially you can get your, you know, get what you want more easily, right? If it ever comes to a court, when you force someone to do something, things usually don't go well, right? So, you know,
but, my whole thing is, like, I feel like this was between us. It was never supposed to go to the court anyway, because I feel like this is all of us. Like, how are you going to have somebody, like a judge, decide on how this is supposed to go?
Yeah, and like, what they wind up doing is exactly what you talked about, right? So is they look at policy, right? In general, if both the parents are somewhat close in income, right, they're going to give it to the mother. If the parents can't agree on a parenting plan, they're going to do it, right? Yeah. And even if the mother's horrible, right? And even if the mother was, you know, potentially not behaving well, they're going to give it to the mother because that's what policy says, right? However, when the mother is, you know, doesn't have money and the dad is a lot more well off, that's the one instance they're going to give it to the parent that has more money, right? So they kind of have their pecking order, right? Right. Number one, are they the same? Give it to the mother, right? If the parents can't get along. If they're not the same and, you know, as far as, I mean, it's a little odd because typically with, you know what it is, because you're, I don't know. Typically, if you got a divorce, you know why he's not going to want to give you divorce, because you probably have to pay you alimony at that point, and then, you know, then you'd be able to.
And then he keeps saying, the judge didn't order you to pay child support. Yeah, they didn't give me a court order to pay child support. All they did was gave him full custody. They took away my rights.
Yeah, I don't think they can. Yeah, I think child support is just in a case of divorce. I don't know, but. But yeah, I mean, just this is a general, you know, my general advice is just is as much as you're right and as much as he's antagonizing you, your best bet is to do whatever possible to, you know, support him and work with him.
Yeah.
I know that's the opposite of what the emotion is. And I'm not saying it for any other reason other than that's the way you're going to be most successful, right? You know, you've already lost the battle. You can't win the court battle. You can't win the money battle, right? Yeah. Maybe you can, you know, you guys can start some business here and you can start to build up some finance. Okay. But if you did that, it would be, you know, more than likely it would entail you're going back to New York and having your own apartment and having custody every other week or something like that. You know, part of it at this point is you want to play the potential long game that he says. And what I mean by that is that if he is in fact terminal, start working towards what I was talking about. Start saving some money here. Probably it means moving back to New York and sharing custody. Then if dad passes away, you get dad's money and you get the kid. But your goal is definitely, you know, well, this is my non-legal, you know, opinion. Your goal is to come up with a partnership with the father, right? Yeah. And unfortunately, that's going to mean swallowing a lot of hard stuff. But like I did, the reason you're going to do that is for your son, yeah. Right? You want to spite the father? Yeah, I get that. But not in the no end,
more, like after a certain point,
I would if I were you. I would want to spite the father. I don't like him and I don't even know him, right?
After a certain point, for me, I'm different. After a certain point, I just know, you know, what's most important. And for me, what's important now is, just doing what I can to assure my son that I did what I was supposed to do. That's it for me right now, to be honest.
Right.
That's the only way I see it.
Yeah, your best thing is just to build up the public relations campaign for you, you know? And to not do, you have to do zero things wrong, right? Yeah. If you get agitated, You tell your friend to talk you out of it, right? Okay. If you want to, you know, they call it is the rule of sevens. Okay. They call it fire fingers. If you are angry at someone, you wait 7 seconds. If you're still angry, you wait 7 minutes. If you're still angry, you wait 7 hours, then 7 days, right?
Okay.
Because the last thing you want to do is, you know, at this point, if you have a, you know, a protection order against you, the last thing you want to do is give them any, you know, what do we call it, proof or you know, substantiation that that was correct, right? You want to do the exact opposite.
I already did like, that already. That's, right. Yeah.
I mean, you seem like a pretty mellow person. And that, you know, is unfortunately, you, because of the current situation, you now have to be a saint. You have to be perfect. And, you know, the goal that will keep you doing that is that you're working to get back your son. And it's not so much, I don't want to say get back in terms of that he's not going to have him, it's to share him. Yeah. And that should really be your goal, is how do I get to shared custody? If you think about how am I going to get back custody, I think it's not going to be good for the kid, it's not going to be good for you. Is that your end game, to get shared custody, or to get you want to get full custody?
I just want to have a relationship with my son. Great. However I can get that. That's all that it is, to be honest.
Great.
Well, right, because just the main problem is my son's father's blocking that. He's been blocking it since he had him. So I've been going through that for like a few years. So, I mean, I just know my main focus, and I kind of like, after a certain point, you gotta leave stuff where it's at eventually.
Right.
You can't keep, because it's going to drive you crazy. To keep going in a circle around and around over the same thing, something that's impossible. Especially when people know how to master manipulate, and they're going to really get what they want to get because of age.
Yeah.
So that matters.
It's not fair, for sure. You know, you're at a disadvantage, 100%. That's true, right? And as a result, your best game, your best goal is to, how do I get to shared custody, right? Yeah. And you do the manipulating. And by that, I mean that to your advantage, right? Yeah. You let dad think that you think he's great, right? You let dad that you don't harbor any anger anymore, right? You just want to be there for the boy. You tell him whatever he needs to hear. He wants to move them down to his friends in North Carolina. Great. You think that's great, right?
Oh, he didn't tell me this. My aunt told me this.
But you get my point, though.
Yeah.
It's whatever he comes up with, you support it.
Okay.
Because if you oppose it, right, the only thing that you want to, you know, argue on, and again, you want to argue with, you know, not even argue, you want to manipulate. It's like, look, you're blocking me from leaving my own son, right? I just want to talk to him. I don't know how you get on the phone. I don't know if you get agitated at all. I could certainly see me, I would be getting agitated, right? Don't say a single cross word, right? Don't say anything. Just put on your best performance. I say, I just want to talk to him. Make him, you literally, your goal is to make your son's father, make him feel like crap, right? You want to be ultra nice to him, and so that he's going to have no reason to be upset with you.
That's hard.
I know it's hard, but that's the best strategy for you, right? Because
if
you don't oppose him, he's not going to be able to keep fighting, right? It's like punching a punching bag that isn't there. If you take away the punching bag, then he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk to my son, and it'll rip him apart until he does it. So your goal really wants to be is to, you know, you have to kind of outsmart the father and get him to do what you want, which is, you know, get to a point in the near term of giving you access to his son.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to get.
Right.
Just the point of some kind of access at this point. That's all it is.
Right. So that's the best way to do it is you know, you know, record the conversations. And again, you have to be perfect. I know I've said that 80 times. I'm going to say, you know, a couple more because I say it because it's tough. It's not easy to do.
Oh.
I went through a period where I had to do that and it was super hard. But the thing that kept me doing it was I have three kids.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, I know that situation where you're like, I don't want to be nice to him. I want to strangle him. Right.
Yeah.
I know that exact feeling. But unfortunately, you know that you can't win that battle.
Yeah.
So you want to be successful, and successful means getting contact with your son and eventually, hopefully, getting in presence and maybe even shared custody, right?
Yeah.
Be able to talk to him on the phone. Next one is maybe get to see him in person every now and again. You know, I don't know if you can go to New York with your family there.
Yeah.
And then in the long term is, you know, is presuming that the boy stays in New York, is you stay with some parents some family or something, I don't know, and you get to see him one day on the weekend or something like that, right?
Yep.
And at some point, you're going to outlast him, literally, emotionally and life-wise.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Right. And just, yeah, you know, that's the best thing I can say to you. Okay. She don't know what.
Oh my God.
All right. Are you guys good? Do you have any other questions for me? Do you have any, questions for me? I'm friend number one.
She's calm about it. I just need to know. I'm trying to learn how to be remain calm. Because, to see someone going through that is like...
Well, it's actually good that you were, in retrospect, it's good that you guys were here. Because, the way that I see it is you two are each other's cheerleader, right? And you both have, different situations, but, really, tough things that you're coming from, right? And the best thing that you can do is what I was saying to both of you, right? Which is you support each other. You say you're there for each other, and you don't let the other one get riled up, right? So when you feel that anger going, it's going to be natural, to get upset. Unfortunately, emotional behavior, what I say to people is you want emotions to drive your behavior, not be your behavior.
Right.
Right? And in this instance, the love of your son is the emotion that's going to drive your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the behavior that it's going to drive is going to, you're going to be as perfect and as kind and as positive as you can,
right,
to the father, so that you can slowly but surely increase your access to your son. Right. And as far as her, it similar thing. Whatever she's doing, just be supportive of her, and it'll be the corny look at each other sometimes and say you matter, right?
Okay.
Clearly there's some bond that drove the two of you to come here to Portland, right?
Right.
That's kind of cool, right? Yeah. I don't know what you guys are dealing with the next couple of days, but next couple of weeks, but figure out how to make it together and say, like I was saying with her, little wins should be huge for you guys, right?
Yeah.
All right. If you stay in a warm, comfortable in a warm house in a warm area and a comfortable bed tonight, what everybody else takes for granted, you guys are like, wow, we're in Portland and we're not out, in the street tonight. I'm a little worried that you guys might spend a night or two on the street. I hope that doesn't happen. Do you have a plan? Were you going to avoid that? Are you able to avoid that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we're doing now.
Okay.
I'm not going to say by any means necessary.
There's like couch surfing and stuff like that. And I'll give you. So I was going to pay you by check. Are you able to cash those checks tomorrow? Did you get that in the emails? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Because I'll write up the check. So okay. That'll hopefully, help you some.
We do have. Out-of-state ID.
That doesn't matter to me. Okay. So yeah. Right. So it's a U.S. bank check. Okay. There's actually a U.S. bank which is like 6-7 blocks from here. So technically tomorrow during the day you can go there and cash it. You should be able to cash it there directly. Okay. But it's a well-known local bank. So there's other locations. But you'll see the name of the bank on there. If there's any issues, come back to me and I'll void the check and get you cash, but I need to give you pay you by check for my business.
That's
okay.
All
right.
And we do have a support system. I have a god dad. My godfather's out here, so.
Okay. You said your godfather?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so every couple days he'll check on us. He'll
right.
make sure like.
Are you able to stay with him in the need of an emergency?
Well, he won't let us stay. I mean, he stays right now where he's staying. He's staying like in a room.
Right.
Because he works 12-hour shifts. He's a sleep therapist.
Right.
So he'll just be like, okay, if you need more time at an Airbnb, let me know.
Right.
So that's a blessing in itself. Like, he's the one that told me as a chef, he's like, this is where you need to be.
Right.
And
I'm glad you two have each other. It's daunting to move to that new area by yourself. You both are going through tough times and just your little simple little things are, it should be big wins for you, and you know, just you got to keep that positive thing. I mean, to me, you clearly both have drive, right? You know, you're both persistent, and that's going to be the key. You know, it's the person who keeps trying is the person who wins, right? And you know, yeah, you guys can present yourselves, and your heart seems to be in the right place. So you know, just don't give up,
okay. Right? I'll help you with staying positive with him when he gets negative and nasty.
Okay.
And I can, yeah, it, trust me. I know the I want to strangle him, but I have to hug him, yeah, you know, kind of thing. But okay, let me.